Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Default McRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 173 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Oh, I'm looking at this braised short ribs on the Por Favor Podcast. Is this cooking at the homestead right now?
Yeah, it's in the crock pot.
Did you do this, or is this a Susie creation?
No, that's me.
Yeah?
Yeah, seared up those short ribs. And mm-hmm. It's that app that I told you about, those emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many quick, easy, good meals on that thing.
Oh, so it's like they send you all the ingredients?
Yeah, yes, and then you can put a shopping list together, too. It, like, puts it into a shopping list, so you can just go shopping,
beautiful.
Too.
A beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'll have to post the after.
Yes.
Doesn't that look like it's off to a lovely start, though?
It looks like a very good start.
This is Eric.
Eric Erickson. Are those beef short ribs?
I don't know. Yeah, I think they are beef short
ribs. I would imagine, because that's the only thing you would call a short rib, right? Like a beef one.
Yeah, I don't know. Because pork, I don't think is.
It would just be ribs. Right?
Yeah,
spear
ribs. So. It's research we might have to conduct.
Yeah, that would be probably something that we should know. Kind of surprised that we don't know that already.
Now I'm looking through our page. I'm looking at that t-shirt. That Billism, The Art of Being Bill.
That's a good t-shirt, isn't it?
You'd wear that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Jurgenism, The Art of Being Jurgen. It's like, you know that's like the crappiest t-shirt. One wash and all the letters start coming off.
Yeah.
Shrinks down like three sizes.
You know what's so dumb, too, how immature we are? Because we could just go through, like, 40 names, and it would be funny. It's like a baby, like, every time you put a toy in front of them, like, they just smile.
Yeah.
And Melnickism, The Art of Being Melnick, and then I'd laugh. And
yeah. Eugeneism, The Art of Being Eugene.
Like I said, it's not getting old.
No.
I mean, there's a Coke Zero that just says Jason. I find that to be amusing.
You like that picture?
Yeah, it just says Jason. Then we go down to On the Range with Por Favor Mike. Tonight, Mike hits pitching wedges at Stony Brook Golf Club.
I got all of that one, Billy.
Pulled that a little left. I'm still putting, though. I did the ultimate sin yesterday. I was just waiting for a group to come in, so I dropped about 13 balls from the 150 and hit some 9-irons in on 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah, you can't be doing that.
I used my key, though, to fix the ball marks.
Yeah, well, that's good at least.
Yeah, I fixed all my ball marks. You should see me too, Billy. I'm hitting the ball so well. I mean, I'm putting them out a little right, and there's water protecting the green.
Yeah.
And I'm going right, and I'm like, damn it. And I'm still like 15, 20 feet from the hole.
Oh, so that's the bad shot?
Shots now. Yeah, I mean, I hooked a couple in the greenside bunker, but I mean, we all know I'm getting up and down for a four there anyway.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, your short game is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played a round, or you just hit balls now?
I've just been hitting balls.
That's beautiful, though, isn't it?
Hitting balls. I had to take cover. We got a nice cell that came in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I saw the black in the sky, and I asked my old partner, who's off on Thursdays now, and he was playing. And I said, Chai, you think we're going to get this? He goes, no. He goes, check your phone. And I checked the phone, and it was 15% all the way down.
You knew.
And then all of a sudden, boom, that was it. So I ran into the cart barn because the pro shop was closed. So I took a cart and drove into the cart barn and waited it out for about a half hour. I gotta tell you something. I was disappointed yesterday. Some guys were coming to get range balls.
Yeah.
So first, hey, how many you need? He's like, two. I'm like, okay, I can help you out here. I said, that's $10. He's like, oh, he goes, I have to pay with debit card. I'm like, I just frowned. 20 minutes later, another guy comes. I go, how many? He goes, can I get two? I'm like, yep, that's $10. Guy's like, yeah, can't pay you. I got to use my debit card. So it was starting off to be one of those days.
Right.
So then last night, everything's done, just about ready to go home. I identify a prospect. It's 8:30.
Uh-huh.
I see a prospect. I get in Speedy. That's our convertible cart that the Rangers use. It does 19 miles an hour. I go zipping out in the parking lot. I'm like, good evening, sir. I go, what can I help you with? He goes, is the range still open? I'm like, the range is open. And I said, well, how many do you need? He's like, just give me one. I'm like, come on, hop in the cart. I get him his balls. I'm like, he's like, I only got a 20. I'm like, I can break that. He's like, well, just give me five. You know, give me 10 back. Keep five for a tip. I'm like, ah, beautiful ending to what was a very dismal afternoon.
Keep five for a tip. Little did he know you were keeping the other five anyway.
I was turning that in the next morning.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe like Tony Soprano, right?
Yeah. And then when I go home, I got to hand over the cash to Vito.
Yeah, Vito counts it. You did good today, Michael. She, like, pat you on the cheek a couple times.
Yeah, she does it so good. She goes, how was it? I do a cha. He's from South Korea. I go, there was a tougher day for a range of balls. She's like, I don't want to hear any goddamn excuses. Hand over the stash. I still did, like, $80. That's not a bad day.
Does she take her share? Like, she gets, 50?
She takes her cut, of course.
She takes the 50, and then you give... She just gives you 30 back.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, you got to pay protection money.
Yeah, I don't want houses burning down or dogs going missing, you know?
No, all of a sudden the range is like, get Roundup sprayed all over it.
Yeah, you can't mess with the range.
No, you see some wise guys out there with sprayers on their backpack sprayers. I'll say, oh boy, I didn't pay my insurance to Susie.
Well, I'm sorry, the range is going to be closed for the afternoon.
Is it going to be open tomorrow? We're not sure yet.
It's going to be permanently closed the days that Michael work. Let's just put it that way.
Everyone understands that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's buffoonery. Complete buffoonery.
Yeah.
So you want to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Let's get into that, because there's a few more things I need to touch on before we go on break. This is a busy, busy episode, Jürgen.
Oh, okay. So I have from Shipyard Brewing out of Portland, Maine, Chocolate Milk Stout. I found this one in the back of the fridge. I didn't realize I still had it. It's more of a winter beer, but I still like it.
Okay.
It's a 5.4% alcohol, so that's a lower one for my usuals. But it's very good. A smooth, rich flavor. Perfect for a hot summer night like tonight.
Hot summer night, yeah. I've been watching the beginning of the Red Sox. David Ortiz Day.
WPRO. Yes.
David Ortiz Day, part 66.
Every day is David Ortiz Day, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Enough already.
I mean, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. He was a great player for the Sox, but they treat him like there's never been anybody like him. He probably doesn't even deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that.
I don't agree with that necessarily.
No doubt about that.
Like, everyone just ignores that he's almost certainly a steroid guy. I mean, No, but neither is Roger Clemens.
I think Clemens should be a Hall of Famer as well.
Well, I think he should be a Hall of Famer before Ortiz.
I don't think it should be a one or the other, Bill. I think they're both of them a Hall of Famer, so let's just leave it at that.
All right. We can leave it at that. So what else do you have to get into here? You said you had a few other things.
So I stopped this guy. He came in. I was cleaning his clubs, and he has a Walt Disney World Golf putter cover.
That's a nice cover.
It had seven dwarfs on it. So I started talking, and he's a big Disney nerd. He said he lived up north. He was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He said he used to watch The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights, and he would be very angry because it would be cold and snowy up there, and all he wanted to do was be in a sunny area. So he ended up moving to Florida in the 70s. He's had annual passes for years, and he just let them expire because his daughter's going off to college, and he wasn't sure how much he and his wife were going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking, then he asked the dreaded thing. He said, so where can I find your podcast? And you kind of hesitate, pretend you didn't hear the question.
Yeah, right.
And then if he reiterates, then you kind of have to go backtrack. And he'd ask me again, so I had to explain to him what the name was.
It's WDW Radio. My name's Lou Mangiello.
Yeah, I'll just introduce myself as Louis Thomas Mangiello. So I was telling him, I said, yeah, last Memorial Day, I said I wanted to spend the weekend at my cousin's house and not necessarily see her, but just have a place to crash. Yeah. I said, and she told me, she's like, well, I'm working all weekend. I'm like, oh, you don't need to be around. I just need a key and a place to sleep. I said, told him how I said it was one of the best days. I sat around the Grand Floridian, went for a swim, went back to her apartment, showered, changed into my golf clothes, and then went to the Magnolia and played a round of golf. And he said, funny you should say that. He said, because tomorrow I was thinking about going up there just to play the Magnolia. He said, but it dawned on me that after my round, I wouldn't be able to go to Casey's and get a hot dog because I don't have APs.
That, my friend, is
somebody who gets it. A round of golf and then a nice dog at Casey's. Maybe watch the 3 o'clock and then head the heck home.
Yeah, it's People Mover at least once.
People Mover, Carousel, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
But there's a guy who gets it.
I don't know if Casey's would be my top choice of food, but I understand the
yeah, I probably would have went to the Grand and went to the Quick Serve and gotten a chicken cordon bleu sandwich.
Sure. I mean, there's other things. But that's not the point. I understand his point.
Right.
He should have kept those APs up.
Yeah, so I was actually going over all the different options, and I said, sir, I'm very confident that tonight you and your wife are going to get in front of the computer and renew. He's like, I think I have to. That's what we do, Bill. We drive revenue to that place.
You should have had him listen to whatever episode when we talked about the different options.
All the different options. I was talking about the Epcot After 4. He was very intrigued.
Yeah, why don't you tune into episode 158 where Jürgen and I discuss that in depth.
You always have to have your 30-second elevator speech down, Bill. I hope you practice that in a mirror.
Yes, I do every day.
I am Gary of the Por Favor podcast. Join us weekly.
We make fun of ourselves that we like don't want to tell people about the podcast. But honestly, you're talking to this guy about possibly renewing his annual passes, and we have an episode where we go in-depth where you could have just said, hey, listen to this episode.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and there's a lot, maybe not everything. I mean, we're not the ones that, like, top five, you know, water slides at Typhoon Lagoon, but we have, when it comes down to, like, money stuff, I think we have it covered.
Yeah, we do.
And food, obviously.
We do. What else did I want to bring up? Oh!
Oh, I know, well, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bill. Bill, I've been talking most of this half. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you shut up for a second?
Yep, I'm sorry.
So, you finally got your wish with the U.S. Open. They played a pitch and putt course, and then everyone ate it up for lunch, and it was one of the most boring U.S. Opens.
They said it was the conditions, though.
Was it? Wasn't the course?
I don't know. I'm sure it was a little bit of both, but they said, because they didn't really go low on Sunday.
No, but they didn't shoot, like, 75s either.
No.
Everyone was like 68, 60, like, well, Koepka anyway. He was pretty consistently 4-5 under, and then what was he, 3 under on Sunday?
I think so.
So,
I mean, the U.S. Open is still the garbage of all majors. I go on record to say that.
Now, I've always...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've always kind of been, like, I don't understand why they trick it out to make the scores higher. But this one didn't intrigue me. I guess just because it wasn't competitive. If there were three guys on the 18th with a chance to win it, I would have been on the edge of my seat regardless of what their scores were. Just wasn't a competitive tournament, I guess, was the big issue.
Now, as you segued into golf, what do you think of Phil and Bones McKay?
Oh, that was a surprise. They've been through thick and thin. I mean, do you think there's any dirt there? Or is it just kind of a Phil's playing less, Bones maybe has a better offer on the table? And
that's what I think. That's what I think it is. I think he's going to start playing less, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, he skipped the Open this year, the U.S. Open, with good reason, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Bones said, hey, I still want to... I want to be on someone's bag every week. If you're only going to play 6-7 times a year, I need to be on someone else's bag, and I'm sure he'll have someone lining up. We'll hear in the next few weeks. We'll find out if he's on another.
I think, honestly, Bill, that's what it came down to.
Because you would have heard some dirt by now.
Absolutely.
If it was bad. Because everyone, as much as I give Phil crap all the time because I don't like him, and a lot of people share that sentiment, if there was dirt to be had, it'd be out because people would be ready to bury Phil.
Oh, everybody wants to bury him, except for, I love Phil.
Yeah, I know. I don't like him. But so I'm going to give him credit with this, and I assume it was just a mutual parting of ways.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, we agree. That's what's going to happen with the podcast at some point with us.
One of us is going to get a better offer.
After like 18 years, mm-hmm. I'll be doing it once every like 6 weeks. You'll be sitting there and saying, listen, I know we've been through a lot together. We've had a good thing going, but at some point, I need to be doing a podcast every week, and then you're going to go over and join... like Lisa Green's podcast.
You're going to be going to the girls' softball games. You're going to be going to their dance recitals. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be visiting colleges. You're going to need weeks off all the damn time.
Right.
I'm going to be carrying the load like I have been since episodes 000.
Right, exactly. And I am like the Phil Mickelson in this relationship. I mean, I'm the big name. People come to see and hear me.
Right.
They don't care who's on the bag.
You're right about that.
And that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, you're going to have to speak up for yourself when it comes down to it.
I'm the caddy. I get one veto a year.
Right. We're in the prime now, though. I mean, we're like Phil after he won his first major. We're just hitting our stride right now.
That's true. It only took 3 years.
Yeah, well, Phil was a late bloomer as well, so we're right on par. Yeah, that's all right, take us to break.
That's all I got. We'll take a break. This is episode 173 of the Poor for War podcast, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Is it dark up there yet?
Just getting there. It's still a little bit light, but the storm's coming in overnight, so it's been a little dark since about 4:30. Got some thunder boomers supposed to be coming in overnight.
There you go. I'm still on our Facebook page, and here we are. The mudroom at the Mall of University Town Center appears to have the same quality standards as the mudrooms at Disney. I'm very impressed. I mean, that's a very worthwhile post, isn't it?
It's true. That's true.
Did you see that picture, though, of those mudrooms?
Yes, I did.
Weren't they pretty?
They were pretty nice.
I mean, I'm almost looking at maybe this tile for the new Defont-Leroy recording studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I get the tile that they have at the mudrooms at the mall at University Town Center?
Yes, that's a very common request.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, what are we talking about this week, Jürgen?
Well, Mr. Klinsman, it's been a stressful couple of weeks here at the studio, and I figured, let's go up to property, let's go eat at a Signature.
Ooh, a Signature.
I don't mess around, Billy. I'm not messing around here.
Billy.
Now, you know what's funny? The other episode when I was talking about going to the Grand Floridian?
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. Everybody thinks I'm Daddy Warbucks. You know, people are actually texting me and emailing me, asking me if I can help them financially and send them, like, some loan money at, like, 4 points and stuff.
Oh, really?
I'm like, I'm not a bank. Look, I'll send you a check and, you know, whatever. I'm not going to collect interest and all that nonsense. So, with that being said, I have a job where I just work one day a week. I'm helping my buddy out. And I said all the tip money that I get is going to go into the savings account, and I'm going to build it up. And when it gets decent size, we're going to go do something nice. So this is almost like money that we never had.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing. So I'm not going into debt to stay at the Grand Floridian or to eat at a Signature.
Right, exactly. It's your messing around money.
It's my messing around money. It's my messing around money. So the nice thing about this time of year is I'm on my Disney experience and pretty much everything's open as far as restaurants.
Yeah.
Now you remember that the message I sent you the other day. It was a good hypothetical question, was it not?
It was, and that's kind of what you wanted me to pull up menus, and I was like, I'm not on the clock right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're unbelievable with your freaking union guy. Yeah. Actually, I think he was the one that messaged me.
I gave the phone over to
to
my union rep, and he looked at it, and he gave me just the silent nod no.
Yeah, I mean, geez, you and I can't even talk after hours. That's ridiculous.
He wants me to get paid for my work, and I can understand that.
Well, now that you're working, do you want to kind of delve into what we were discussing a couple nights ago?
You basically just said, Narcoozie's or Le Cellier, where would you go?
No, the question was, and this makes it even better, Bill, Narcoozie's for the second time, Le Cellier for the first time.
Oh, true, good point. You did say that. Right, so Narcoozie again, or Le Cellier for the first time. And that is a big question, because those are two, like you said, two signatures, and you love Narcoozie.
Yes. And
you and Susie both loved it.
She said that's definitely her favorite restaurant.
Right. And you guys have been to a lot of the signatures together. Mm-hmm. You've been to California Grill, you've been to Citricos, you didn't go to Artist Point together.
No, she hasn't been there.
Right, you've been there, you guys went to Shula's together.
Correct.
So there's a lot that you've been to, and to say that's your favorite is high praise.
Yes.
And now Le Cellier, that's always been like, you always look at it and say, I need to check that out.
Yes.
That's one of those that you've been on for quite a while.
Correct.
With good reason. And I kind of just said, well, it really comes down to if you want seafood or steak, because they're very different types of restaurants. And there is a lot, they couldn't really be more different.
You think so?
As far as even the decor, like Narcoozie's is open and it's bright because it's got all the windows. Le Cellier is literally in a cellar. It's dark woods. stonework. So they look different inside. The menus are very dissimilar. You know, fresh seafood and seasonal vegetables at Narcousse. Le Cellier has, you know, steak and potatoes. So it's hard to compare those two on that aspect. But obviously, that's why we get paid the big bucks. So we got to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no wild cards I have to worry about or anything. It's just one or the other.
One or the other.
Because I was thinking, and this was, I was kind of surprised it didn't even make it into the discussion, the ever-elusive flying fish.
Yeah, you know, that. I think it was a time thing, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that they didn't have the openings at the right times?
Yeah, I don't think it was. Yeah, so these were more, because I wanted to see either fireworks or illuminations, and I didn't want to have to be, like, I think flying may have been like an 8:30.
Oh, so you would have missed out on everything. Yeah. Okay, so that's a good enough reason to eliminate that from the discussion. But I was a little surprised, because then at least you'd be going seafood steak with two places you have not been to.
Right.
So that could come into the equation, because I know you and Susie both like trying new places together.
Correct.
So what do you want to do first, the new or the old?
Let's go with the new.
All right, so Le Cellier.
And just to let you know, I just checked just now, and they do have two available, 4:30 and 6:45.
You know, I've noticed that, do you remember Le Cellier used to be like one of the hardest reservations to get?
Could never.
Now they're open all the time. I don't know if it's because it's a signature now and the value's not there anymore with people on the dining plan.
And I think what's so intriguing, too, is a few times when I was at the park with my mom, we'd be walking through, and she'd say, "You want to try this place, Le Cellier?" I'm like, what is it? Because when the last time I had been there, it was kind of like a cafeteria style place. I went with Frank Sr.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and it was like they had prime rib, but it was more, I don't want to call it a Ponderosa, but it was kind of like that flair.
Huh.
We had prime rib, and my mom and dad ended up going maybe to Chefs de France or something. But I had never known of Le Cellier, and you know, we'd walk up and ask the maitre d', like, were there any openings or anything, and we said we'd even hang around for a half hour and not one cancellation. So I think like both trips with my mom, it was always like an intriguing thing, because we could never get seated,
couldn't get in,
and naturally I'm standing outside, you know, where they have the menu, when she's like, "You want to eat here?" And I'm looking, I'm like, "Oh, hell yeah, do I want to eat here?"
Yeah, right, it's like everything is like just what you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat here all four nights if that's cool. We were on the dining plan, but it was a sacrifice, because she doesn't like steak, so.
Oh, right. I mean, there are things you can get if you don't like steak.
That is correct.
Which we'll get into, but you and Susie both enjoy a good steak also.
We do, yes, Bill.
All right, let's start with the appetizers.
Let me just finish going through the slideshow right now. I'm looking I'm just looking at the pictures.
The food pictures or the interior?
It's got a little bit of both. It's got interior. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you, this dessert actually looks pretty dablame good.
Yeah, I know. I remember the desserts being pretty good there.
That looks good, Bill. All
right, you ready?
Yeah.
So we have the starters, and there are a lot of good starters to choose from here, just right off the bat. Prince Edward Island mussels made with Canadian craft ale, charred onion broth, and chorizo sausage. Like, I know you guys love the mussels, and you usually don't like them because there's fennel. Nothing about fennel here. This is just like hit after hit. Mussels with chorizo, can't go wrong with that.
You could do chocolate fondue with chorizo, and it's going to be perfect.
That's a good point.
Put chorizo in your water. I mean, you're not going wrong with shitties.
Yeah, like you go to a restaurant. Would you like lemon in your water? You go to the Portuguese restaurant. Would you like a slice of chorizo in your water? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Very refreshing.
The grease just settles to the top.
It's disgusting. I'd probably try it, though.
I don't know. It might not be bad.
Yeah.
I bet you'd be sprinting into that mudroom, that University Town Center mudroom, though, after a
glass
of chorizo.
That's like weaponizing chorizo if it's like taking it in your water, yeah.
Whoa.
The next one is the poached Pharrell pears with blue cheese, candied walnuts, micro lettuce, and a pear argol doce.
Yeah, I'm good with that. That's, as you know, stuff that doesn't go with stuff.
Yeah, that's a pass. Now this, steak tartare, USDA prime beef, brandy, truffle-scented 62C poached egg, pumpernickel crisps, baby vegetables, bone marrow, snow. That sounds real fancy.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Have you had steak tartare before?
No, but Susie has and she loves it.
It's really good. Everything sounds fantastic with that. So you got like chopped up raw beef, a poached egg with, like, truffle center, which is basically mushroom, pumpernickel crisps to eat it all with, baby vegetables, and a bone marrow snow. I don't even know what that means, but I've never had bone marrow.
Sounds fatty.
Well, bone marrow's not, like, roast it, and it's got, like, a rich flavor, supposedly. I don't know. I bet that's very good. $15, too, so it's probably a small portion, but it sounds pretty good. I would really like to see a picture of that. I'm kind of disappointed.
Are you on Disney Experience?
No, I'm on All Ears.
Yeah, because I'm on my Disney Experience, and the prices are a little different.
Oh, all right.
Tartar's $17.
Okay, so this hasn't been updated recently on All Ears. This is from, it's from May, it says.
Mm.
So who knows? Although they might put their highest price on my Disney Experience, you know, like their Thanksgiving prices, so that way they don't have to change them all the time. Then it says there's a larder board, house-made meats, fish, pickles, and breads. I'd be a little too afraid of getting, like, lutefisk on that.
Yeah, I would too.
But otherwise, that sounds okay. Now, this is something that Por Favor wife would like. A baked triple cream brie. So it's a big wheel of brie with pickled beets, figs, baby greens, and a hazelnut praline. So that's like a big chunk of cheese that just melts and you dip stuff in it. That sounds pretty good. Then they have the world-famous Canadian cheddar cheese soup.
Yeah.
Made with moose head and applewood smoked bacon. Yeah, their version looks so much nicer than the one I made. That's okay. It was still good, the one I made.
And then they have the assortment of artisanal cheese.
Yeah, which was, I'm sure, very good. You want to get into the entrees, or you want to look at the side dishes first?
We can go into the sides real quick. We call them enhancements.
Oh, do they?
They call them, they're called enhancements.
Says side dishes here on All Ears. So they got Montreal poutine, which is one of my favorite side dishes ever. Fresh cut French fries, Montreal smoked brisket, French onion gravy, Gruyere cheese, pickled vegetable slaw, mustard beer sauce. That, just give me like 3 servings of that. That could be my meal.
Oh, that's funny, because they have this broken down as poutine offerings.
Yeah, there's more than one. I was going to get to the next one.
Yeah, there's a Le Cellier signature.
Fresh cut fries, Canadian cheddar truffles, and red wine reduction.
Jesus.
Now, the traditional poutine, as far as I understand, Bill, is made with cheese curd.
No, as I was a kid, there was a different definition for that term, but we won't get into that.
Okay. Either of those poutine offerings sound like a go for me.
I don't know about that.
No, which one do you prefer out of those two?
I probably wouldn't get any of them.
No, you don't like the poutine?
I'd be afraid, like, you're at a really nice fancy restaurant and you're getting, like, French fries with just melted cheese and bacon bits.
That's true.
I like to class it up once in a while, Bill. Very, 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 very once in a while, but I do like to class it up.
So they also have cream spinach, the classic steakhouse side dish.
Correct.
Truffle fries.
Yep.
Loaded mashed potatoes with bacon, cheddar, chives, and potato skin crisps. Smoked macaroni and cheese. Because it has the smoked bacon in it. Seared scallops, that's a good enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
And the lobster Oscar, which is lobster mac and cheese, which would be fantastic. So those are the sides. As for the entrees, do you want to go ahead and get into these bad boys?
Yeah, I don't know if you have the same as me, but the first one we have is the Black Angus ribeye.
Okay.
Fingerling potatoes, applewood smoked bacon, vinaigrette, heirloom carrots, maple bordelaise butter.
That sounds pretty good.
Sounds good. What is this? The poulet rouge?
It's chicken.
Yeah, I'm reading the... Yeah, sweet pea. That's definitely out of the question.
Well, you're not getting chicken at Le Cellier. Although it sounds okay.
Yeah, it does.
Because a duck cell, that's the stuff that they use in Beef Wellington. It's like a mushroom stuffing. So okay. A duck cell stuffed chicken with a sweet pea puree, morels, which are mushrooms, and crispy salsa fee. Sounds okay, but not when you're at Le Cellier.
How about that porterhouse steak for two?
$119. Loaded mashed potatoes, crispy onions, lobster mac and cheese, béarnaise sauce, and a blue cheese fondue. Just the sides. I would get any steak with just those sides.
Oh.
That's actually not a bad deal.
It's $60 a head. No, of course it's not a bad deal.
Right.
You don't have to get enhancements because these places are giving you sides.
Right. And I don't know how big. It doesn't say how big the porterhouse is. It must be, what, a 32 ounce?
Yeah, it's got to be 32 to 40, yeah, absolutely.
I would think, because that could be a deal breaker if it's like a 24-ounce and they're trying to say it's for two.
No, it's not. Because typically, you don't have a 16-ounce porterhouse. Typically, a porterhouse is going to be 20.
That's true because of the bone.
Because of the bone, 20 to 24. So I'm gonna. I almost want to say this could be a 48 ounce. Don't you get the? Why don't you get the? One of our guys looking into that. All right, as we continue doing the menu.
So
for
then,
Christ's sakes, you gave him the long weekend off 2 weeks ago. They better be up there working.
That's true. Figure this out, Eugene. What else? You have a different order than me, so why don't you keep reading?
Got the Le Cellier Filet Mignon.
That's their signature dish.
Triple almost... Canadian tenderloin, mushroom risotto, asparagus, tomato relish, truffle butter sauce. Sold.
You almost have to get that. That's their signature. That's like their big...
Oh, Billy.
Their big seller. Billy. Doesn't that look so good?
Oh, God.
And that mushroom risotto is fantastic also, I have to say. I did have that on our honeymoon, and it was good.
You did
it
have the filet?
It was very good. Yes, I had to get
what
it.
What did poor for your wife have?
I don't know if the menu was the same, because I don't think she got... I know she didn't get steak.
You said she's not a steak person, right?
No, she doesn't like steak. So I want to... I think she got a fish, but it wasn't this one that they have on there. The soy lacquered striped bass, because she definitely wouldn't have gotten that.
Oh, I would, I would get that.
Oh, yeah, but she wouldn't like... I don't think she would
Mine
like that.
Mine has a pan-roasted wild king salmon.
Oh, okay, so it's different. Mm-hmm. So, there we go. Striped bass. So, either way, sounds good. Although, you don't like salmon that much.
No.
But again, if you do choose Le Cellier, you're not getting fish or
that
chicken.
That is correct, sir.
You're picking from one of the steaks.
Right.
And there's four very good options. The porterhouse for two.
Oh, let's not forget the USDA Prime New York Strip.
Right.
Can never go wrong with a strip
steak. That was the fourth option.
Can never
go wrong. Filet, the ribeye, and the New York Strip. Mm. Parsnip puree, root, vegetable hash, crispy onions, apple-scented demi sauce, $50. So the price differences are minimal between these dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't think you could go wrong with any of them. What it would come down to for me is the sides that come with it. Like, as much as I love a New York strip, I don't want parsnip puree or root vegetable hash with mine. I'd rather have the crisp fingerling potatoes with the bacon vinaigrette, you know what I mean? Or the mushroom risotto.
Mm-hmm.
Or the porterhouse for two with everything. Loaded mashed potatoes, crispy onions, lobster mac and cheese. I mean, just the sides alone, you're getting the steak anyway. And just getting that the bonus sides almost makes that the way to go. The only problem with that for you is that you and Susie don't take your steak cooked the same.
That's right. That's a problem because we were looking at doing that at Shula's. But yeah, that is a huge problem.
That should be something that they are able to figure out. But I guess not. I guess you gotta get people on the same page when you do that.
Well, yeah, because how are you gonna do it? You got the strip and you got the filet. So it's not like you can cook. And plus, the whole thing about wanting to do that is we both get to have half the filet and half the strip. So you're not gonna be able to cook half the filet and half the strip at a medium, and the other half of the strip and the other half of the filet at a medium rare.
Right. Exactly.
So
they cut it all up and cook in separate little chunks. I don't think that presentation would work out.
No.
For them. That is strange, the steaks for two, because it's uncommon that two people...
Correct.
Especially, like, someone that are going to split, like a husband and wife.
Yeah, usually the cavemen want it rare to medium rare, and the women want it well to...
Well, sometimes the women are the cavemen in the relationship, but I don't know. Not too many people take...
I would say the majority of guys like their stuff very, very red. Just the research right. that I've done here in studio.
But even,
you may
like,
have different results.
But even if you think of Por Favor Frank and Sue, it would be the opposite. Like, Sue likes hers cooked a little less than Frank.
Yeah, but Frank is not certainly not a steak connoisseur. He's what we call an outlier in statistical analysis.
Oh, okay.
We got to throw him out when it comes to steaks, how you like your steak cooked. We have to take his results and just throw it out because he's a complete outlier.
I don't know. He's probably more in the norm of people. I bet
as
more people like their
concerns?
Steak... medium well than how we like it.
No. Ask a chef.
I didn't say what people that consider themselves foodies, but the average American, I bet most people take it medium well.
No. I'm going to have to disagree. If anybody listening to this, get on our social media, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. What do you think? Medium rare or well done?
No, see, that's not a good question.
All right,
I'm asking.
Should we jump to desserts right now, Bill?
No. You're this is important to me.
Okay.
I'm not saying what our listeners would choose. I'm saying what the average American across this great nation, everybody from steak connoisseurs to the average Joe, I bet more people take it cooked well. All right, let's move on.
Well, let me explain. Let me just finish it up here. If you're talking about your average Joe who's going to Greg's to get a steak, they're not the same ones who's going to Le Cellier. somebody who's going to Le Cellier or Shula's is getting it cooked perfectly. And getting it cooked perfectly means medium rare. Now let's go to desserts.
Okay, so I think we're saying the same thing.
I guess, in a roundabout way. We desserts. Have chocolate whiskey trifle.
Yes. A malted milk panna cotta, caramel popcorn, whiskey caramel sauce, and buttered popcorn gelato.
That was a thing that I saw in the picture. That looks absolutely beautiful.
That sounds pretty good.
That looks good.
All these desserts, like you said, well, maybe except for one, sound pretty fantastic to me. The Nanaimo pie, which is a chocolate hazelnut crust, coconut custard, and a cream anglaise. I would eat that.
Mm-hmm.
This next one I would probably pass, a strawberry basil float, strawberry basil sorbet, house-made strawberry syrup.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. A camembert cheesecake, a double cream cheesecake, a cherry gelée, pistachio cream Florentine. That sounds pretty good, a traditional cheesecake. No sugar added, vanilla peach mango panna cotta. Probably would pass on that. And then the maple creme brulee, which is their specialty.
That's your signature, Billy. What'd you go with for dessert?
I think they had like a whiskey cake that I got when I went. Nothing that's on there, but I think that's what it was, like a chocolate caramel whiskey cake or something. And I think Sarah might have gotten the creme brulee. I don't remember.
So that's about it with the Cellier.
Yeah, nothing. No, I'm not going to complain about that. If that's your choice, that's a good choice to make.
Of course. Of course.
So should we move on to Narco Susie's?
Yes. As Brother Heath would at Bishop Thomas F. Hendrickson High School would say, any questions? Okay, let's move on.
So, in this discussion, we should have asked this ahead of time. I'm assuming price is not going to play a part.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, not really, but I don't know if one is going to be a lot more than the other. You're talking the
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, when it comes down to it, you're probably going to end up spending close to the same at both, but you're not going to say, well, I'd get this and it's $58 here.
No.
Okay, that's all I meant. So, Narcoozy, the place you've been to, you both love it.
Love.
Plus, it's at the Grand Floridian, which you love.
Love.
Plus, if you go there, you can watch the new fireworks show at Magic Kingdom, which
that
could be a
correct,
plus.
That is correct, sir.
Which you have not seen yet, correct?
That is correct, sir.
And you know what you're getting, and you know you're not going to be disappointed. Although, I doubt you'd be disappointed with Le Cellier, but
correct.
Either way, let's get into these appetizers here for Narcoozy. It's the slow poached and chilled shrimp with a citrus remoulade, a frisée salad, and pickled shallots.
Yep, that sounds delicious.
Crispy Rhode Island calamari with peppadew, banana pepper, olive relish, and tomato coulis.
Perfect.
Love fried calamari.
Yes, sir.
Barbecue grilled
specifically
shrimp and grits.
Rhode Island calamari, too.
Yeah, it is. That is probably my favorite
I would agree.
Preparation. Wild Florida shrimp with budgies, barbecue sauce, low country grits, cherrywood smoked bacon, and pickled green tomato chow chow, whatever that means. That's probably a pass. Barbecue at a fancy place doesn't, like, jive with me. Now, you've had the mussels, correct? The Prince Edward Island mussels?
Yes.
Tomato, white wine, saffron broth, again with shadis, shaved fennel, and a toasted baguette.
That was so good.
But you said
good.
You said hold the fennel?
Yep.
And it came out good.
It was so good.
So, mussels to mussels. I know you've had that, but the one at Le Cellier sounded pretty good, too. With the beer sauce and the onion broth. I don't know, but it's hard to top one that you know that you love, mm-hmm. too. Then there's the artisanal cheeses. 4 tasting portions from around the world with prosciutto and accompaniments. No, you don't might like the prosciutto.
I'm not a big cheese guy.
No.
At restaurants. I like to, you know, get some Vermont cheddar and slice it up with some pepperoni if I'm watching a college football game. But now, Bill, you forgot on the soups and salads you have the Maine lobster bisque, $13, butter poached lobster, coral chives.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't in my list here. I didn't get to that part. Yeah, Maine lobster bisque. Did you try that from there?
No.
That looks pretty good. Chunk of lobster in there.
You've seen the YouTubes, haven't you?
Yeah, big chunk. Like, that'd be a good split. Like, you get an appetizer and you get the bisque and you do a couple splits.
I was saying we could do the calamari and the lobster bisque.
Perfect.
Although, I'm looking at these entrees, Bill.
Billy. Entree, let's get into it. Get into these entrees, because I bet you have different stuff if you're still looking at my Disney. Because I'm at all ears. Their menu has not been updated since January for this.
Why don't you use the same one that I'm using?
All right. Well, I'm afraid of, where to find it there. Oh, all right. I went with the tried and true.
There you go. Should be over there now, Jurgen. It's so dumb. This is Billy.
All right, here we go. I'm there. Yep, soups and salads, like you said. A couple salads. We won't get into that, right?
Okay. No. We already went through the bisque.
Entrees from sea and land. What, you want to go ahead or you want me to do the honors?
The first one we have is the steamed Maine lobster. What was that? Brentwood corn souffle, malted popcorn sauce, sissed gremolata. What is a melted popcorn sauce? Malted popcorn.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what malted popcorn is. I don't know how you would make a sauce out of it. Probably tastes nutty, though, if I had to guess.
That second one down, the line-caught swordfish sounds good. Do you like dirty rice?
Yes, I do.
Creamy braised collard greens. I do like collard greens.
I'm not a fan. Red roux cream, corn makushu. I don't even know what half these things are.
I don't either.
But I assume it's just vegetables. Pan-seared George's Bank day boat scallops.
You know what you're getting there.
Yeah. It comes with pasta, Marcona almonds, raisins, grilled elf mushrooms, haricot vert, and lemon mustard jus. I don't know if I want almonds and raisins in my pasta.
I agree with that.
That would be a turnoff, because otherwise that sounds pretty good. That definitely is a turnoff for me. I have to say, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but have you noticed the surf and turf is drastically different than in the past?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. Heritage Farm. Oh, I went right over. Grilled grass-fed filet mignon or Black Angus New York strip with a bonito russet mash, broccolini, red wine, oxtail reduction. Those sides sound pretty good.
They do.
I like broccolinis. I've had that before. Those are good.
Broccolini is fantastic.
And I'd probably go with the Black Angus New York strip, given those two choices. Because I like a filet, but I love a New York strip.
Oh, I do too.
Heritage Farms Cheshire Pork Rib Chop. Creamy Tillamook grits, bacon roasted Brussels sprouts, and a fruit chutney. Oof, those sides sound pretty good too. I like Brussels sprouts. I'm a big fan of that. I don't know what your thoughts are. I do too. Especially with the bacon.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. And they're cut in quarters.
Right. Now, here's the question. We said at Le Cellier it would be like sacrilegious to get something besides steak. Is it sacrilegious to get non-seafood at Narcoosi?
No.
No, so you would go with just a straight steak at Narcoosi?
Potentially, Bill. Potentially.
Potentially. Well, there are enhancements. There's always enhancements.
You and I think alike, my friend. We think alike.
Butter-poached twin Maine lobster tails with that Brentwood corn souffle, malted popcorn sauce, and citrus gremolata, $67. Wild-caught shrimp in garganelli pasta. Spinach, oven-roasted tomato, basil pesto, cheese, and Chardonnay garlic cream. That sounds really good. It's like a shrimp pasta with a garlic cream sauce.
Mm-hmm.
$39. It's a bargain, too.
It's a bargain. I think Susie might have had that, but it might have had similar scallops instead of shrimp. But yeah, okay. Something very similar. And it was...
That sounds really good.
Oh.
Billy. Oh. I would like that. Coriander spice seared ahi tuna with Asian vegetables, sesame sticky rice, and a ginger kefir lime broth. You're not a tuna guy, right?
Yeah, I do like tuna. I like tuna a lot.
Oh, I thought you didn't like it.
But I don't like it rare. Isn't that strange?
Oh, yeah. I like it rare. It's good like that. Interesting. I'm sure that comes rare. I guess you could ask for it medium, but I'm sure the chef's preference
would frown on that. Correct. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy who gets tuna at Cello's or Greg's.
Braised.
Yeah, can you burn this? Can I get this well done, please? Chef ends up walking out on the job. I can't handle these idiots. Oh, that braised grass-fed beef short ribs.
Yeah, that's what you're making tonight, right?
Not quite.
With a wild mushroom farro, black garlic puree sauce, and glazed globe carrots. That sounds good. I would like that. I don't know what wild mushroom farro is. I think that's a grain farro, if I'm correct. I'm not sure. And then we have the signature surf and turf.
Which is no longer, I don't think, their signature.
No, because it's only $50. It used to be filet and a lobster tail, right?
Yeah, or it might have been a strip, but I'm looking at the prices, because I think it used to be a $72 entree.
It was more than that.
It was $75, $77. So what I'm thinking...
No, it was like $90. When I went on our honeymoon,
that much?
I remember it being like $92.
Okay, I don't recall it being that much.
Because that's, I was like, $92. I was like, what is this? And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, surf and turf. That sounds perfect. And of course, I was on the dining plan, so I went with it. Anyway, so with this one, now you have a choice. Butter poached, yielding tender lobster tail, or steamed producing, or, oh, so you can either get butter poached or steamed lobster tail. And then you get sirloin steak with the lobster tail, mm-hmm. served with Yukon Gold rustic mashed potatoes and roasted spring vegetables. Still, I mean, that's still a good deal.
Well, you know what, too? I mean, a sirloin is not something, it's something that I cook mainly. That's my steak to go when I cook at home.
Yeah.
Because I like it, but it's a cheaper cut. But it's a nice option for $50. You're getting a cheaper cut, but you're getting you're getting the land and the sea at a pretty decent price point.
Yeah, certainly. And the lobster tail. But if you look at the enhancements here, skipping ahead, just the lobster tail is $27, so that means you're paying $23 for a sirloin steak with those sides.
Which is not bad.
Not at Narcoosi, certainly.
But I wonder if this lobster tail for $27 is a little smaller than what you're going to get in your surf and turf.
Or bigger, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry, I reversed that out. The one for $27, I'm going to assume, is going to be a little bigger.
Right.
Than what you're going to get.
Be interesting. Anyway, so that's one of the enhancements you can get.
How about that lobster macaroni and cheese?
Lobster mac and cheese, butter poached lobster, fennel, sweet onion, and manchego cheese. That would be good. I could eat that. Get that lobster bisque, some calamari, lobster mac and cheese, and a dessert. I don't even need an entree. Skip right over that.
Yeah.
You know? Herb roasted mushrooms. That's speaking your language. You love mushrooms as a side, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Cremenian shiitakes, herb butter, Vermont goat cheese feta. Oh, that sounds good. Another one, jumbo asparagus with herb butter and a citrus gremolata. Narcoosi's signature mashed potatoes with bacon, cheddar, and scallions. And then king crab legs, 1/2 pound, served steamed with drawn butter. Do you like king crab legs, sir?
I do, yeah, they're good.
I've never had them. They always seem like a lot of work. Like, lobster's a lot of work, but I know what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
With the king crab legs, I've never done it, and it seems like even more work. Seems like it's more difficult to get into those bad boys. I could be wrong. I don't know. I've never had them. But is it sweeter than lobster?
No. Texture's different. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I haven't had crab legs in so, so long.
Yeah, I'd have to try it, I guess. Shall we get into these desserts here?
Sure, Billy.
A lemon custard with blood orange sorbet and a raspberry mandarin foam. There's an almond-crusted cheesecake with a Lambert sherry sauce. That sounds good. Mango sorbet, we'll pass on that. Strawberry shortcake, strawberries and cream with vanilla Genoese, I don't even know, and wild strawberry sauce. That's probably something you would get, right?
Yeah.
A chocolate tort, no sugar added dessert, with chocolate cream and raspberries. This would be probably mine. Coconut and chocolate creme brulee. Layered coconut and chocolate, whipped chantilly cream and toasted coconut. That sounds good. And then the candy bar, Narcoosi's candy bar. Dark chocolate mocha bar with house-made Guanaha, I don't even know how to say that. Sorry, I'm yawning too. Guanaha chocolate gelato. Now, didn't Susie get that? Or they gave you that or something when you went for your anniversary? They gave you the chocolate bar?
I don't know if we got that or we got like an assortment.
Oh, okay. So it might not have been
I think we got like some assortment.
That sounds very rich, though.
Mm-hmm.
That Narcoosi candy bar. Then you can get the cheese plate for dessert if you so choose.
Yep.
Same one as the appetizer. There's a lot of good options.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Now, do the desserts strike you at this venue as much as they did at Le Cellier?
To be honest, I wouldn't get dessert at either places, so.
Right, but you'd be more tempted at Le Cellier. Correct, because it seemed like you were very interested in a couple of those.
Yep, that's exactly right.
I agree with that. So desserts, I would give the nod to Le Cellier, but that being the least important of the courses, that's not going to weigh too heavily. Now, how about with appetizers? Who would you give the edge to in appetizers?
Oh, I'm giving the edge to Narcoosi's.
Narcoosi. See, I'm leaning slightly towards Le Cellier in the appetizers, just because I feel like I would like those mussels better from Le Cellier, and that soup is so good. And there's other good things, like that the beef tartare, that strikes me. And the calamari, as good as I'm sure it is there, that's That's something I can get.
Here we go. The big old Rhode Island food snobby. I would never get pizza at Via Napoli because I can get the same thing in Cranston, Rhode Island, and the same thing with the calamari. Good God.
Well, no, it's just readily available. I'm not saying it's the same or it's even as good, but it's readily available.
Unfreaking believable.
I'd rather try something I can't get near me.
Here we go. The big old Rhode Why Island is that? Snob.
Why is that so offensive to you that I would want to try something
It's different? Not offensive to me. It's offensive to our listeners, for Christ's sakes. I'm from Rhode Island. You're offending the people who live in flyover country, the Willings of the world.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that would be something different for them because they don't get calamari as readily out in Minnesota.
Yes, the restaurants in Minneapolis are not quite as sophisticated as they are
Not true. They just don't happen to be abutting the Atlantic Ocean where
you're
calamari...
You're digging deeper. You're going deeper, Bill.
Do you want to go to
specialty cocktails now, or do you want to keep digging this hole?
No, I'll keep digging the hole because you're wrong, and you just talk over me so I can't make my point.
I'll cut your freaking mic talking over you.
Yeah, you'll just edit me out.
I do have that capability now.
I don't know if you do. You do edit, but I don't know if you have the capability.
All right, so continue on, you snob.
I would like to try the beef tartare over the calamari.
Okay, that's fair enough.
The mussels at Le Cellier sound more to my liking than the mussels at Narcousi. So I'm giving a slight edge to Le Cellier's appetizers. As far as the entrees, I would give an edge, personally to me, to Narcousi. Because you get the best of both worlds. You're getting all those steaks that are available at Le Cellier, but then you're getting this beautiful seafood as well.
Yep.
So what is that? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I need to hear your opinion. How about you said you gave the nod to Narcousi for the appetizers.
Yes.
Narcousi gets the nod on the entrees.
Yes.
How about the enhancements? I think Le Cellier's enhancements might be, if not equal, then maybe slightly better. Because a lot of them are, like, you can get the lobster mac at both. That poutine, although that's not something you would get.
I'm going to give enhancements to Narcousi's.
Okay. I mean, it didn't matter. They could have SOS as the only thing on the menu, be like, well, it's at the Grand Floridian, so that's going to get
I like to poach lobster. I like to poach lobster tail.
Oh, okay. But so you basically, all of the categories, you're leaning towards Narcousi. That being said...
I gave desserts
to
Le Cellier.
Dessert went to Le Cellier. That being said, you've been there before.
Correct.
And you may want to try something new. Like you said, Le Cellier's kind of been something you've always pined for. Should we take a break and make the big reveal after the break, or do you want to give it away now?
Oh, we can make... Well, we'll take the break, and why don't you tell us, after we come back from break, which one you would choose?
Okay.
I posed a question to you.
That's true.
And maybe we can have a surprise and reveal it next week so people stay tuned and listen.
I don't think they would stay tuned regardless.
I think they would.
No, that sounds good. That sounds good. We'll reveal next week, and I'll tell you what I would pick.
All right.
Okay.
back from break. Now, Mr. Klinsman.
Yes, sir.
I got to take offense with what you said, because you basically said that if it was a McDonald's at the Grand Floridian, that I would pick that.
Yeah, I kind of feel that's true.
Okay, with that being said, did you not say that Nakusuzi's was one of your favorite signatures that you've been to?
It's probably my third or fourth favorite.
Third or fourth? Number one being Animal
Chico.
Kingdom. Okay.
Yeah. And then I liked California Grill better.
California
and then it's
Grill.
Either,
okay.
And then after that, it's either Narcoossee's or Yachtsman. Probably Yachtsman. So I would say Narcoossee's is probably fourth for me.
Probably fourth. Okay. So my question was, Narcoossee's for the second time or Le Cellier for the first?
That's a harder question for me, because I would always lean towards doing something for the first time being a non-local, because I don't know when the next time I'll be back to try it. Where if you picked
What you're saying is it's easier for me to do one for the second time, because I can always go up there again in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. So if I were living where you live, I would probably go with Narcoossee for the second time over Le Cellier for the first. Living where I live, I would pick Le Cellier.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
Or am I being a snob?
No, you were being a snob in the last segment. No, you're okay. I rang you in now.
Okay. All right. So that's
let me
ask
you another question before we head out. Which atmosphere do you like better?
I like Narcoossee's atmosphere. I wasn't a huge fan of the atmosphere in Le Cellier. That was like at the peak of its popularity. I felt like they stuffed us in like sardines. It was kind of tight, cramped quarters in there. So I wasn't a huge fan of the overall atmosphere. Narcoossee was very nice. Especially if you get up against a window and you can look out into the water.
That's beautiful. So I think it's a very, very, very nice restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think the atmosphere is better in Narcoossee. It's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it for me. I don't have anything else. Why don't you bring us home?
All right, you can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Pour for War Podcast. You can find me personally on Twitter, Mike, or at Pour for War Mike. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just look for us at Pour for War Podcast. Email address, info@pourforwarpodcast. You can hit me up personally, Mike, at Pour for War Podcast. And you can also find our website, www.pourforwarpodcast.com. Mr. Klinsman.
My email is Gary@pourforwarpodcast.com. I have nothing else to add, so bring us home, Bill.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 173 of the Pour for War Montane Gasse Alejandro Davis podcast from Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island. I'm Mike down in sunny southwest Florida. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.